This morning we'll start looking at the Gospel of John and looking at the great subject in the Bible, light versus darkness. The Gospel of John has some great themes. Of course, it has the theme of life and death. It has the theme of truth and lies. It has the a theme of light and darkness. And we see that theme in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Amazing. The Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Isn't that amazing? Horrible thought. That men love darkness rather than light. But it is true. There is a huge reality of the two opposites being a real reality in this world that we live in. Now, if you're a Christian, you understand these principles in a great way. The epistles remind us of the reality of reality of the world of darkness and the powers of darkness that control this world. Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us that we wrestle not, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Colossians chapter 1 puts it in another perspective. In verse 13, talking about salvation and knowing Christ, it says, "Who hath delivered us," Colossians 1:13, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Have you ever thought about the power of darkness? The power of darkness. You know, what's the power of darkness? What are the realities of darkness? Well, number one, in darkness, you do not know where you are going. In darkness, you do not know where you are going. That's pretty serious when it comes to eternity. How many people in this world realize that they're going to hell? We had a young lady in our home, visiting in our home from Japan. And we were sharing some scripture verse with her. We shared with her John 14:6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm sure we shared some other verses with her, but she is from Japan. 99% of Japan is non-Christian. And 1% that is Christian is a smorgasbord of whatever, whether they believe the Bible or not. And we shared with her that verse, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And she literally began to weep. Because she realized that most of her country did not know Jesus Christ. And that they were on their way to hell. The power of darkness. The power of darkness is the reality of darkness is in darkness you do not know where you are going. Just imagine being in a dark room. I mean, dark. Totally dark. You know, if you're in a dark room, you're really in a dark room, you can't even see your hand. Do you know that? The powers of darkness. The realities of darkness. Of course, the Bible tells us one of the great truths of salvation. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, but for ye were sometimes darkness. Ye were in the past. You were darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. You know, in darkness, number two, you cannot distinguish between right and wrong. You cannot distinguish between right and wrong. Sounds like the world we live in, doesn't it? People have a very hard time distinguishing right and wrong. The Bible says, of course, in the last days, people, they will call good evil and evil good. All the values of our country that used to be good are now being called evil. And the values that used to be called evil are now called good. A symbol of darkness is you cannot distinguish between right and wrong. Now think about it. Young people, many adult Christians, much of the world, they are in confusion. They can't figure out what is right and wrong. Are you there? Is that where you at? So, you know, I used to think that was right, but I don't think it's right now. And I used to think that was wrong, but I don't think it's wrong now. Really? You know what that sounds to me like? Darkness. Darkness. Darkness cannot distinguish between right and wrong. You know, this is a related truth, but you know, darkness cannot discern the direction it is going. Do you ever get lost in darkness? Imagine yourself in a dark room, and you think the door is over there, and you don't even know. You just don't know. You don't know which way you're walking. You don't know which direction you're going. Darkness. You know, what is the truth about that? Darkness, you don't know the direction you're going. You know, a simple application is that many people today don't have a clue about the results of the decisions that they're making. The characteristic of a dark people who are living in darkness is that they do not know the direction that they are going. Or they don't know the results of the decisions that they're making. You know, the man by the name of Parker, I don't know his first name, he was one of the early presidents of Facebook. And he recently made this comment in Business Week. He says, "Only God knows the evil that we have created." Now, as a businessman, they were creating a platform of Facebook, and they were creating it to make money. And they realized that they were putting within that the very things that would cause people to get addicted to it. And they invented like the like button as a means of causing a person, when they get that like button pushed on their site, to have emotional drug in their system to be triggered. They knew that. They knew what they were doing. But it's amazing that many of those early tech people forbid their own children to be on social media. They forbid their own children to be on social media. Now, that's just an illustration of a reality of life. But the reality of life is that people, when they're in darkness, they don't know which direction they're going. In fact, they might think they're going forward when actually they are going backwards. The apostasy of the hour is a word apostasy is a Bible word which means a turning from the truth. The apostasy of the hour is empowered by Bible Christians who are using the Bible to lead us in the wrong direction. They think they're leading us forward, but darkness does not know which direction they are going. Darkness does not know the results of what it does. In the Bible, do you think Lot, when he chose for material reasons and financial reasons to move his family farm on the outskirts of Sodom and Gomorrah, do you think that he ever intended that he would at one day live in Sodom and be one of the governors of the city? And do you think he ever intended that his daughters, at least two of his daughters, maybe three, would come to a point where they mocked God? Do you think he ever thought that that would be the result of his decision to move his farm, to have his sheep watered on the grasses of Sodom and Gomorrah outside? No. You see, darkness does not know the direction that it is going. In fact, darkness has the ability to deceive, to cause a person to think that they're going in the right direction when in actuality they are going in the wrong direction. We look at our text today, we find something that's very disturbing about darkness in John chapter 1. Verse 5, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness does not, cannot recognize Jesus. What does the darkness think about Jesus? What does darkness think about Jesus? We have the late related truth in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, I'll read the verse, you can write it down if you can't get there right away. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know, darkness is powerful. Darkness is powerful. Isn't it amazing? You see a young person magnifying darkness. You know they're on a wrong path. You know, they got black toenail polish. They got black fingernail polish. They got black hair. They have black eyeshadow. They have black clothes. They have black everywhere. Not an accident. It's not an accident. Another very difficult, sobering truth about darkness is that darkness is a choice. John chapter 3. Most people like to think that darkness is an accident. But darkness is not an accident. Darkness is a choice. Look at what the Bible says. Verse number 19 of John 3. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Then it explains it. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Notice this. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. And Jesus says, why won't they come to me? Because they have made a choice. They want darkness. They want darkness. And what did he say? Those who want the truth will come to the light. You know, isn't it amazing how we can be so easily deceive ourselves? Isn't that amazing? The Bible dispels this lie of darkness. Darkness is a choice. And when men choose evil, they choose to come under the power of darkness. And darkness is powerful. Darkness is powerful. The Bible tells us that we live in a world that is ruled by the darkness. There are rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan is a ruler of the darkness of this world. Now, let's talk a little bit about light. And we can say some wonderful things about light. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Is an amazing truth that we take for granted. And we could probably preach on this the whole hour and all day if we really chose to. But Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. What is the answer to the darkness of this world? It's very simple. The answer to darkness of this world is Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Jesus is the answer to the darkness of this world. In John chapter 1, I like what it says. In verse 4, it says, in him, that's in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ delivers us from the power of darkness. And one of the first things that happens when a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, when a person repents of their sin, they see their sin as sin of their own free will, see that they have a sinful heart, and they realize that Jesus is the only one that can save them from their sin, the only one that can deliver their soul from the guilt and the power of sin. When they come to Christ, notice what it says. It says In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know what kind of life it's talking about? It's talking about eternal life. When you get eternal life, you get light. You get light. Now, the first thing that takes place when you get Jesus Christ is you get a very big light shines in your soul. And if you got just religion, you don't get that light. Because religion is confusing. But when you get the Jesus Christ, you get light. Notice it says, in him was light, life, and the light was the light of men. Now the Bible talks about that in many, many different ways. But if you turn to 1 John chapter 5, we'll read a couple verses there about the light that comes through Jesus Christ. And I want to make it simple. 1 John chapter 5, that's little John at the end of the Bible. It says here in verse 11, it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life." You know, eternal life is all about Jesus. Eternal life is all about what you do with Jesus. It's talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not talking about baptism. It's not talking about church membership. It's not talking about religion. It's not talking about good works. It's talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son has life." That's the core issue of your soul, is what have you done with Jesus Christ? Not what church did you belong to, not how many good works you did, not if you were baptized, nothing. Only about what have you done with Jesus Christ? Jesus is the Savior. He's the Son of God. He is the Lord. What have you done with Him? Have you received Him as your Savior, as your Lord, as the Son of God, the only one qualified to die for your sin? What have you done with the Son? It says, "He that hath the Son hath life." There's a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that something simple happens when a person has that real encounter with Jesus Christ, when they come to Him and depend upon Him 100%. I was talking to Phil yesterday. And I said, "You know what the problem is? Religious people, they got a real problem. Religious people, they got this formula. You know, they're depending on Jesus, you know, a certain percentage. And they're depending on their good works a certain percentage. Sometimes those good works are mixed up as baptism. And they're depending on Jesus a certain amount, and they're depending on Jesus working through baptism a certain amount." I says, "That's the problem. The problem is it can only be 100% on Jesus alone. Only 100% on Him alone. Without baptism, without church membership, without good works. Can't bring anything in it. It only can be Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life." Now, there's a simple result of that. The simple result of that is light. Light. And I'm going to make it simple. You know what it is? This simplest aspect of that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, the first result of coming to know Jesus as your Savior is now, all of a sudden, you got this big light shine. And you know what that big light is? You realize there's only two people, kinds of people in the world. You know there's only two kinds of people in the world. Saved people and lost people. The confusion is come all of a sudden gone. You realize there's only two kinds of people. Doesn't matter who they are, what religion they are. You realize there's only two kinds of people. Saved people and lost people. And you realize that the saved people are only those people who have put their faith 100% in Jesus Christ and turned to Him in repentance and put their trust in Him. And you know, everybody else who hasn't is lost. That's pretty simple. You know, pretty profound, isn't it? Pretty profound. You know, when this person who claims to be saved tries to pretend or think that people who are trusting their baptism or they're trusting the sacraments or they're trusting this kind of stuff, they're thinking that those people are saved. I'm sorry. But you have to ask yourself, have they been saved? What happened to the light? When you get saved, you get light. You get light. And the biggest light in the world is to know whether you're saved or not. And the biggest light is to know that either you are saved or you're lost. You've been born into the family of God by faith, and it's real, or you got something else. That's a pretty big light. Hey, you been born again? You know, I didn't know much after I got saved. I didn't know much at all. And even a year after I was saved, I didn't know a whole lot. And I knew so much about the Bible that when I went to Bible college and went to chapel, quite a few times I'd have to take my Bible and give it to Rachel Knight, who sat next to me, and find this. Is that even a book in the Bible? I didn't know. But you know what? I knew the difference between being saved and unsaved. You know why? Because I got saved. I knew the difference. And I know this group that we were in, interdenominational group, we would go in these churches and I felt really guilty going into these churches because they were kind of trying to get, you know, support for their organization in these churches. And we knew that they didn't believe the truth. They weren't saved. And I didn't know much, but I knew that in my journey of trying to find a church, there's only one thing I knew. I'm saved. And that'd be the only thing I could tell about whether a church was right or not. I'd go in there and I'd start talking to people. And if they were saved and they knew what I was talking about and they were rejoicing, oh, okay, this is the right kind. But if they were talked about some other foolishness, you know, getting saved by baptism or this, you know, I knew that it wasn't right. There's only one thing I knew at that point in my life. I knew Either you're saved or you're not saved. And salvation is real. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. But you know, that's the beginning. That's one simple truth. But when you get saved, you know there's only two peoples in the world. Secondly, when you get saved, you know that God is holy. When you come to Jesus and you know Jesus, you know that God is holy. You know that there is a right and there is a wrong. It's a holy God that had to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. You know that? It was a holy God who had to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins because He was holy. His justice had to be fulfilled. And the eternal punishment of our sin could only be paid by the eternal Son of God. Amen. Not by some created being. An eternal penalty had to be paid by an eternal God. And that God is holy. And when you get saved, you recognize there is a right and there is a wrong. There is a right and there is a wrong. So what did Jesus say to the woman who was taken in adultery in John chapter 8? What did He say? He said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. And of course, then we have that next verse. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. Knowing that there's only two peoples in the world, saved and unsaved. And salvation is a free gift by faith alone, adding nothing. Secondly, that God is a holy God. And that there is a right and wrong. A right and a wrong. We live in a confusing world. I'm afraid that much of evangelical Christianity is pretending that God is gray. There's no right and there's no wrong. The Spirit of Christ is there is a right. And there is a wrong. And the Spirit of Christ is there is a right and there is a wrong, and I want to know what is right. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Is that kind of Christianity you have? There is a right and there is a wrong, and I want to know what's right, even if that means I have to change something in my life. Amen? You see, a holy God, a right and a wrong. Jesus is the light of the world. Go, sin no more. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. Verse 19 kind of repeats what we said. Verse 18 kind of repeats what we said. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, that's not talking about sinless perfection, but you know what it's saying? It's saying just what I just said. He that is born of God sinneth not. What does that mean? Put in different English words. He that is born of God knows there's a right and there's a wrong, and he wants to know what's right so he can do it. That's what it's saying. I wonder, is that the kind of Christianity you have? You know, the newfangled Christianity is, I want to be saved, but I want to live the way I want. That's not, Jesus is the light of the world. Now notice what it says. It says, now verse 19 says what I said as well. And we know that we are of God. We're born of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness or in the wicked one. Oh, there it tells you. When you get saved, you know what? You know the difference between either you're saved or you're not saved. Then it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given to us an understanding. He hath given to us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He hath given us an understanding. Yes, isn't that so wonderful? 1 Corinthians 2:14, what does it say? It says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The context is talking about the Bible. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't discern them. Can't figure them out. Doesn't make any sense. Neither can, for they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Oh, there's that terrible word again. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. He can determine. He determines what is right. He has the ability to determine what is right and wrong. Why? Because now they understand the Bible. They know the Bible is true. They have the understanding of the Bible within them. And it says, and yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When a person comes to know Jesus, they know that the Bible is truth. It is truth. And they understand that it is God's word and it is the authority in their life. What does it mean when Jesus said, I know my sheep and they follow me. And they hear my voice. What does that mean? When it says they hear my voice, it doesn't merely mean they hear the sound of my voice. It doesn't merely mean they hear the words of my voice. It means that when I say come, they come. When I say go, they go. It's talking about the authority of God's word. Now, a person who hasn't been saved, very likely, the Word of God has no or very little authority in their life. Now, maybe they were raised correctly, and it does have some authority. Thank God for that. But you know, when you get saved, the Word of God is God's Word. And it's authoritative. Now, this is a simple truth. But you know, after I got saved, and I'm not trying to make this simplistic, you know, I realized there are some things that I should obey as a Christian. And I says, oh, I'm supposed to do that? Okay. Okay. Bible says it. Okay, I'm doing it. You know, before I got saved, it would have been, I don't want to have to do that. But you know, when I saw it in the Bible, it was like, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. It's amazing, isn't it? The difference, Jesus said, it says, in him was life, and the life is the light of men. Light. The Bible, that's not man's word, that's God's word. It's not somebody's opinion, it's the authority of God. Light. Now what does darkness think about the Bible? Oh boy. Now, I don't know if you're in touch with the times. You know, it wasn't too long ago that one of our great presidents, Ronald Reagan, I wish I could have memorized some of the quotes of what he said about the Bible, how important the Bible is. But I remember, I did memorize what George Washington said about the Bible. George Washington said, without God and the Bible, no nation can be rightly governed. But you know what millennials say about the Bible? Millennials say the Bible is the most dangerous book ever written. That's what our young people are being taught in the school system. The Bible's the most dangerous book ever written. How did it change so quickly? Well, I tell you what, it can change the other way really fast. You know how it is? Get saved. And when you get saved, you'll know that the Bible is the authoritative word of God. Light. Light. You know, we use a little expression. We use that little expression, did you see the light? Or do you get the light? You know? Well, when you get saved, you get the light. Now, you know, life is a battle. There's a spiritual battle. We read about it. And some people don't realize the battle. And you know, one of the lies of Satan is this, dear Christian friend. One of the lies of Satan is this. You can sin and get away with it. You can sin and get away with it. That is the biggest lie, one of the biggest lies the devil ever said. What do you mean, Pastor? What are you talking about? I didn't rob a bank and I don't plan to. I didn't murder anybody and I don't plan to. No, I'm not talking about that. Although, those are sins and they're terrible sins. And that shows you the real effect of the darkening of sin in a person's life, that they would come to that type of place in their life. But I'm saying this. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Why? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't ever stand on the same ground with sin. Psalm 1 says it like this: bless the man that walks not in the counsel, the advice, the teaching of the ungodly. Are you listening to ungodly people? You listen to ungodly people on the TV, the radio, maybe Christian friends that are ungodly. Are you listening to them? Oh, I tell you what. Guess what? That will darken your soul. You know what? It only takes 1 second on your phone to see the wrong images. Only 1 second. Only 1 second. Only one click. And those, that one look is enough to darken your soul. It's all it takes. One experience of sin will darken anyone's soul. But we don't believe that anymore, do we? No, we don't believe that anymore. Obviously, Christians don't believe that. They don't have control over their TV. They don't have a control over their music. You know what? What's more powerful than music to darken your soul? The wrong kind of music. You see, darkness. Darkness is blinding, isn't it? And men love darkness rather than light. You say, you know what? I've lost my desire to read the Bible. I've lost my desire to worship God. I sing the hymns, but I don't sing them. You say, I lost my desire to do right. We go on the list. The fact is, darkness has come into your soul. And darkness never comes in except by a choice. Don't kid yourself. You lost your desire to serve God. Don't blame somebody else. It's not their fault. You lost your love for God and for serving God. You lost your love to do what you ought to do. The joy is gone. The fervor is gone. The energy is gone. Tell you why. Darkness. And darkness is always a choice. Nah. You see what I'm saying? Darkness is a liar. Darkness can't see right and wrong. Darkness can't discern. Darkness is blind. It's a horrible, horrible entity. The Bible gives us some great remedies. I like this remedy. John 8:31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Wow. What is it telling us? There's a simple remedy here. Obviously, a person needs to admit their sin, their choice. They have to recognize that they have been affected by darkness. But what's the cure? Here's a simple one. Start obeying the Bible anew and afresh. And what does the Bible say? If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. How? By obeying God's word. Get back to obeying God's word. Obedience to God's word delivers a person from the lies of darkness. Get back to obedience. Other things we could say, but remember that great verse we looked at, 1 John? It says, and we know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in the Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. We sang that, that was the song that Brianna played. It said there in that place, the vain things of this world that charm me the most. The vain things of this world that charm me the most. You probably remember the rest of the words, I don't, but I sacrifice them to thee. What vain things that you and I love are darkening our soul. It doesn't necessarily have to be sinful. The vain things of this world. Keep yourselves from idols. The things that charm us in this world that really replace and negate and diminish our supreme love that ought to be for Jesus Christ. Keep yourselves from idols. We could say so many other things. I trust today that you have come to know Jesus as your Savior. If you have, you have received the light of life. The most precious thing you can ever have, the light of life. To have light. To be able to see. To be able to see the real realities of life. Understand the truth. To know a holy God. To know what's right and wrong. To know whether you're really saved or not. The light of life. Jesus, I am the light of the world. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you for reminding us of this great, great battle of life. A dark, dark, dark world. A world that is so dark, it has no idea what it is doing. It is so dark that it's consumed with darkness. It is so dark. Much of it has come to hate the light. Oh Lord, help us to see the battle of life, light and darkness. Lord, help us to see precious souls out there in darkness, not knowing where they're going, have no clue as to what right and wrong is, have no clue as to where they are. They need the Lord Jesus. Lord, we didn't get to the last part of the sermon about letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Living a life that is so different from the natural responses of the world. living a life that is so different from the natural responses of hate or fear, revenge, bitterness, all these things. But a life that has been transformed by Jesus Christ that the world has no explanation for. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed, Lord, might you work in our hearts. Help the people of God to put it together of what you've been trying to speak to us about. Lord, may the truth find fertile soil. You're here this morning, and you have to admit that you don't really know the difference between whether what real salvation and what real isn't. You can't really tell the difference. You don't know the difference. It's very confusing to you, but today it's been explained that it's not in good works. It's not in church religion. It's in knowing Jesus personally. And Jesus can never be your Savior and your Lord unless by personal invitation. When that personal invitation takes place at a specific knowing moment of time in which you turn from your sin and you purposely, knowingly turn to Him in faith to be your Lord and your Savior. And you say today, you know, Pastor, I can't think of a specific moment in my time where I knowingly, as a lost sinner, turned away from my own way and turned to Jesus and personally invite Him into my life as my Lord and Savior. And at that moment, I was born again into the family of God. You say, I can't point to that specific time, but I know that's what I need to do. I need to personally receive Jesus as my Savior. Maybe you're a little bit confused about it, but you recognize that you need to do something about Jesus Christ. You need to turn to Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you don't exactly know all the details, but you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'd like to really understand that. And I know that's what I need to do, is to personally accept Christ. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today, as we close this service? Anyone here today? That's what I need to do. I have religion. Maybe you're even a Baptist, but you haven't been born again. Perhaps today you sense that you've allowed sin into your life. And now your life is characterized by a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion. A lot of doubts. Because darkness has come in. You lost your way. You don't even know which way you're going now. You thought you used to, but now you're really confused. And you say, you know what, Pastor? That's me. I've let sin come into my life. Maybe you don't even want to admit it that it's sin, but I've left sin in my life, and my life is characterized by darkness, confusion. I can't hardly tell between right and wrong anymore. And God is speaking to my heart today. I need to be delivered from the powers of darkness in my life. I need to turn to God anew and afresh in my life. Would you please pray for me, Pastor? Anyone here today? That's a big decision, isn't it? That's a big decision. But it's a liberating decision. Perhaps today the Lord has spoken to you about the importance of separating from the works of darkness, about the importance of obeying God's word, about the importance of being in God's word and spending more time in God's word, maybe taking out of your life things that are darkness. And as we close the service, you say, you know, I need to make sure that I have enough light in my life on a daily basis. And that is what God has been speaking to your heart about. Anyone here today? Okay. All right. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to meditate and to think upon these important things. Thank you for important decisions made in the lives of God's people. Pray your word would continue to be quick and powerful. And may the truths that we looked at today, might they liberate a precious soul from the powers of darkness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.